Yeah, the sale ends at 8 o'clock on Sunday evening. It's a staggered format sale, ending one after the other, and it's a sale of collectible gold coins. So ZAR coins, South African mint long and short proof sets, and Krugerrands.
Okay, so long and short proof sets. What? Explain this to me, please, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay, the South African Mint issued proof sets every year, and the long set is the set that contains the two gold coins. The short set is the set of the coins without the two gold coins, right. And obviously a significant difference in value between the two.
Okay, so the coins that are on, and you talk about there being rare coins up for sale as well. What sort of rare coins are we talking about?
I think the ZAR coins are always a little bit more rare. So minted from 1892, the South African Republic at the time decided that they wanted their own coin, based the ZAR pawn, what's known as the Kruger pawn, on the British sovereign in terms of size, minted their own, and off they went. So limited mintage, and I think that is where the rarity comes in. It's not something that was minted. They did mint a good number, but not in the millions. And then the even more rare ones, and I don't think there are any on the sale, are the veldpond, which is when the Boers were minting them out in the veld somewhere in the Pilgrim's Rest area, and we find blank coins that are unminted. They're minted but they're unstruck. So just a purely blank gold coin, one sovereign in size.
And these sovereign coins, do they contain any precious metals? Because in those days, of course, coins did contain precious metal.
Therein lies the value to a point, because it's 92% gold, 8% copper, so it's a 22-carat coin. So it has an intrinsic gold value, but the ZAR coins have a value in excess of the gold value or the bullion value. So where a bog standard Krugerrand might be worth an ounce of gold, the ZAR Republic coins are worth above their weight. The most valuable or the best one of the whole bunch is what's known as a Sammy Marks Tikkie. It was minted. Kruger gave Sammy Marks permission to mint coins at the South African Mint, and he minted 231 3 pence gold coins. Only 231 of them. An uncirculated mint coin would be in the region of 500,000 rand today. Bog standard one that's been in somebody's pocket, somewhere between 200,000 and 250,000 rand.
I mean, we think state capture is new, but I mean, Noel Napier's got a great big distilling deal from Kruger, and Sammy Marks was allowed to make his own coins. I mean, favors were being handed out in politics a long time before we were around, and yet you get these little quirks of history. Of course, the Sammy Marks coins are renowned for their value. When we look at the ages of coin sets, I mean, I see you've got mint long proof sets from the 1970s. Does age matter when it comes to these coins?
Bruce, I think yes and no. If you're going to buy the proof set or a Krugerrand that was minted in your birth year, you're probably going to be prepared to pay a bit of a premium. And I think therein lies the difference. And then I think also the condition of the coin. So yes, untouched, unused mint coins, and there's really only one facility in the world that grades coins that is almost globally accepted, and that's a facility in America. So if it's got an American grading, it adds weight to the authenticity or the quality of the coin. So those are the things that might add the value, but other than that, often it's bullion value when it comes to your common or garden Krugerrand. However, the proof Krugerrand has more ridges on the rim than the ordinary one, so the proof Krugerrand also commands a premium if it had to come to sale.
Now, explain to me, please, the difference. I mean, other than the ridges, or is it only the ridges that matter? The proof versus the bog standard, if I may dare call a Krugerrand bog standard, but the standard Krugerrand versus the proof, because the proof suggests there's something purer about it.
No, the alloy is still going to be the same. It's still going to be roughly 92% gold and 8% copper. So the So the composition of the coin is going to be the same.
Okay, so, and again, proof Krugerrands do trade at a higher value. Why is that? Are they more rare? Are they scarcer? What is the reason for it?
No, because I do think that I do think the mintage is going to be the mintage is lower than the ordinary Krugerrand. 2017, they minted, I think, somewhere in the region of 14,000 proof Krugers, but 630 ordinary Krugers. So yes, they are rarer, and therein lies a part of the appeal in terms of value.
How does the auction work? Because I see there are bids all over your website. How does the bidding process work? Because there are bids being put in all the time, and you will close this off at some point on Sunday.
Bruce, it's one of these things that have come out of COVID, and it's been quite an interesting journey, I think, for many auction houses. So this sale is what we call a staggered auction format. So each lot ends 30 seconds after the next. So it's a semi real time auction. Not every lot ending at the same time. It's staggered. If there are bids on a lot, the bidding period is extended until that lot closes. And that's pretty much how it's going to work. So we've been forced into sitting on a hybrid side of things. Our Cape Town sale is in 2 or 3 weeks' time, I think, starting on the 19th of February, and that's a live auction with an auctioneer in the room, people bidding online, on the telephone, all manners of bidding. This one is strictly starts at 8 o'clock. And every 30 seconds, the lot closes unless there's bidding that extends that bidding period.
It's so interesting that the anomalies that make up sort of the values of coins. I'm looking at lot 105, for example, which is a set of English 1 rand coins. Now, these were coins that had some silver in them that were issued in the 1960s. One has got a very clear image of Hendrik Verwoerd from 1967, another one from 1966, an image of somebody who was supposed to be Jan van Riebeeck, but I think we've established wasn't. And these are English coins, in other words, the word South Africa rather than South Africa. The mintage is very good, but were the English ones more rare than the Afrikaans ones? Is that why they are, you've got a starting bid here of 10,000 rand for this?
Yeah, I think the mintage was less, and again with those coins used to drive the value. It's a combination of lower mintage and the silver content. Something that's fallen away completely in today's South African coins.
Exactly, all made up of alloys and cheap metals. Thank you, Anton. I'm looking forward to seeing how it pans out. I just love coins because I love the stories that they don't tell. And I love it when people discover ancient caches of coins, whether they be Viking coins or whether they be ancient Celtic coins or Roman coins or whatever. Because these things have laid undiscovered for centuries and you wonder who the last person was to touch them. Well, certainly, this is an interesting set of coins. These are South African coins. They're not Bonda, as I suggested earlier. I was getting my wires crossed between the Kruger Bonda and the Felt Bonda. These are bits of history, wonderful bits of history, and they are highly collectible, not only here, but of course globally as well, and the bids are coming through on the Stefan Welt's website this evening. But there you've got the Half Pond, which has got a current bid on it for 5,000 Rand. I mean, it's a bit of fun. It's a bit of fun on a Friday. Anton Welt, the coin expert at Stefan Welt & Company. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. And we see what sort of appetite there is for these coins. Coming up in a moment, we'll play the Brutal Biz quiz. I'm hoping that you will join us and play this evening because I do like to win. I'm a winner. I do want to win. But I also like it when you win, when you say, yes, I am the wizard of the Brutal Biz quiz. And you go and you spend the entire weekend figuring out your